Your natural circumstances do not define you. In the final analysis, the Word of God defines you. And we had hired a single engine plane to fly us from one of the other minor cities to a city called Kisangani. And this is where one of the original spread of the AIDS epidemic came about. And Bonnie was my cheapest cameraman, so she went around taking pictures and doing video. Some of the most unique stuff you've ever seen. And as a by the way, when this was in the late 80s, when NBC, CBS, CNN, all they wanted, when the epidemic broke out, I think it was the AIDS or it was the hemorrhagic fever. We were the only people in the United States who had any kind of video of that region. So they asked to borrow that video. So it gives you an idea of how remote this place was. And we flew in, and saw thousands of people flocking to this small township. And I asked when we landed, I said, is there some kind of soccer game? What are they coming for? I said, no, they heard the men of God was coming to give them the word of God. And thousands were coming from the villages. And some of them, I knew, would never hear a servant of God give them something from the Bible. Again, from those remote villages, some had walked 7 days from those different villages. And I prayed, Lord, if this is the only message they're going to hear, what shall I tell them? And the word came from me from John, where John the Baptist says of Jesus, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the whole world. Behold the Lamb. Say, behold.
Behold.
So when you behold in the Bible, basically it means focus. Take your focus off of other things. Focus. The two things I would recommend. Focus on the Lamb of God. That's Jesus Christ. And what he has accomplished. And we just celebrated, what, 2-3 weeks ago? Easter. Basically, that's a celebration. Christ died, Christ was buried, and Christ is resurrected. But in that, it shaped the history and changed the history of the universe. That is before Easter history and then after Easter, because Christ took all our sins, Isaiah 53, 1 Peter chapter 2, all of he took our pains and our sicknesses. He took our sins, our iniquities, and by his stripes we were healed. And that's not just an empty promise, it's something awesome and living and continuously giving its energy to accomplish what Jesus has done today. Because the Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I remember standing in Kisangani. By the way, the pygmies were some of my ushers. And a lot of fun stories about that. I still have their bow and arrows in my office. They're small. because pygmies were small. They really are. And I remember preaching, proclaiming. The governor of the province was there. And I said, "Come, Holy Spirit." And then I preached on, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And while I was sharing the word, people started clapping. And I didn't know why they were clapping. And I turned to some of the pastors who were with me, and the native pastor said, "What's happening?" They pointed to the middle of the arena. There was a young little boy slowly making his way up, and he had the spindly little legs. And what I didn't know later, I found out, was that this little boy had been born crippled all his life. And this is one of the poorest little regions in Africa. And so as he grew up, they made a makeshift wooden cart for him. And he would crawl all across Kisangani wherever he could and beg for food, try to do little odds and ends with his hands, but basically beg. And he was on his little cart way at the end of this arena. And I spoke, "Behold the Lamb of God." And there was my interpreter, of course, interpreted in that native language of Lingala. And that little boy focused on that word. He took his attention away from that little cart his body had been crawling on. He did not focus on anything except what I was preaching. And suddenly something happened, and the creative life of God came into him, and supernatural resurrection life hit his crippled legs, and he sprang up. All his life he had crawled on those crippled legs, and the life, the healing glory of Christ hit his legs, and he stood up and started walking towards us. And everybody in town knew, had seen him. For the first time, they saw him walking towards where I was speaking. And they all started applauding the Lord. And the governor was right there by me, in the front row. And as he turned to look at that little boy, suddenly things started multiplying. And there was a woman, I had noticed she was in the front row also, who had a big cancerous growth on her throat. And as the people were applauding this little boy, the woman's cancerous growth suddenly disappeared. And I still to this day don't understand, where did he go? And the governor ran up to the front and said, "I need Jesus. I need to give my life to Jesus." And then he started confessing his sins publicly. And I said, "Shut up. You are on public address system." He didn't care. And he turned his life over to the Lord and became a famous evangelist. So all that to say, behold the Lamb of God, and behold the Word of God. The Word this morning is alive and active, and it's able to reshape our lives. So they're just as a beginning, little appetizer that I want to share with you. I did want to say how much, what a delight it has been for me to be back at Father's house and see all of you, meet some new acquaintance, some I have known for nearly 30 years. I've seen your children grow. I've seen some of these are grown up now. I had a chance to lay hands on them when they were little tiny guys. So it's wonderful to see the strength of this community, and I just applaud the fatherhood and the wisdom of Pastor Lenny Clark and Patty Clark and all that they have done. And they happen to be now, I like them so much, I adopt them as my family. My oldest daughter and his said number two son decided to get married. So we are joined now. I'm delighted about that. And it's so good to see Jay and Katie and the whole team here. I want to commend you. You are a team. And all that you do, one of the aspects always of this ministry has been, whatever you do with such excellence. And I want to commend you. And what a special blessing you are. But there is something that I believe is important and prophetic that the Lord had laid it on my heart to just share with you this morning, that is for us as individuals, us as families, us as churches, and communities and a nation. So I was going to point you to a scripture. Before I do that, I wanted to share we brought a few of our books. I haven't seen you for a little while, but been busy. We have written, Bonnie and I have had a privilege of writing about 24 books and about 3-4 manuals. I lost count. This is our latest book called The Power of the Cross, The Epicenter of Glory. So you get around me, you'll hear a lot about glory. And that's the outshining, outraying of the presence of the finished, of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He's called the King of Glory. And then all that he does through the divine energy and power, we could call the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Glory. But all that we are able to, the blessing we receive, salvation, healing, restoration, all of that, we give, ultimately the credit comes to what Jesus did on the cross. He took our sins, he took your pain. By his stripes you were healed. And as he's resurrected, he gives eternal life to all of us. Anyway, so this was our latest book. It was dedicated to a beautiful, one of the most beautiful women I know. Not Bonnie. This was, in our congregation, was a lady that reached almost the age of 106. And this was dedicated. She was faithfully. She would come every Sunday morning. She had to be there to worship and to get a blessing from the pastor. She just passed recently, but this book was dedicated to her. Anyway, who doesn't have this book? Who would like to have this book? Good, you can get it at the bookstore. Here, I'll give this. What's your name?
Katie.
Bless you. I'll sign that book later, hopefully. And this is by Mahesh and Bonnie Chowder. This is another tape, a CD. By the way, if you go to the our book table, you can sign up for a free gift from Bonnie and I. We'll give you a free download of my latest prophetic teaching called Take the Limits Off, How to Take the Limits Off of Your Life. So if you give your details, it will make it so that you get that download. But this is another one, our latest, called Praise Brings the Presence. Who doesn't have that? Okay, I like to throw things about that. Bless you. All righty. So, remember, as we share the word then, the glory is released, the presence of God is released. We are right now, there is just the shining of the light of glory. Sometimes things happen where in our services, some mysterious things happen. Gold starts falling on people, and some people smell just a divine perfume that permeates their clothing. Anything can happen. So I say, come Holy Spirit, bless people. All right, now, I was going to give you the word. See, I'm ordained Baptist minister. And way back, I went to a Baptist university and got ordained in 74. But I went, they train you. If you go to a Baptist college, they train you to be a preacher. You learn to get dressed in a three-piece suit. You go to sleep in a three-piece suit. And if I don't share with you the word of God, for me it's like Baptist spirits will come and haunt me in the night saying, you did not give the word. So anyway, but here is, turn with me to 1 Samuel 30. In the Bible, 1 Samuel 30, or I will read it to you. It says, now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire. So an enemy force comes and attacks David and his people and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. They were taken captives. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. The ephod represented the presence of God. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And the Lord, the Lord answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Pursue, overtake, recover all. Pursue. Say pursue.
Pursue.
Overtake.
Overtake.
Recover all.
Recover all.
And I felt that this is one of the, for this season, this is one of the prophetic words for you, for our families, for you as an individual, for us as families, for us as communities, and even cities and the nation. Now, some of you may know in the news, Bonnie and I have, we are pastoring and we have a community. We travel all over and take missions and do outreaches across the world. But our base is in Charlotte, North Carolina. So we moved there from Fort Lauderdale, where Bonnie and I served alongside a great apostle and teacher of the word called Derek Prince. And I got to travel with him more than anybody except his wife. So we experienced a lot of amazing adventures all over the world. And then he moved to Israel, and so we moved to Charlotte, North Carolina. And one of the words we got was watch with me. So we established what we call a watch of the Lord, where we would pray every Friday night. We would pray all night long. And so we have been watching and praying for the last 24 years without miss, every Friday night, and established a watch that now there are thousands of watches around the world that somewhat get the pattern from what we do. So we pray, we worship, we dance, we prophesy, we pray for the sick. And in the first few years, as the presence of the Lord would come, the doctors around that area heard that people were getting healed, so they would send their cancer patients, especially stage four, for us to pray for them. And we saw some amazing miracles and healings come. So we have been praying for our city, praying for the community, praying for our nation, praying for Jerusalem consistently for the last 24 years. So some of you may have heard that we had a major challenge in our city last October, that there was a confrontation and misunderstandings between the police and this the one gentleman. Both happened to be black, but it all ended up with the man supposedly reaching for a gun and the police having to shoot the man, and it created a major point of hurt in the community. And so people heard about it, and many people, let's say, from around the nation also thought they would use this event to make a point, but there was like a major energy and a word that were going to burn the city down. And we lived there. A million people lived there. And there were all kinds of people coming to the city and to create havoc, to create violence. And we felt like we needed to get involved, that we could not let elements from outside of the city create havoc and violence and burn the city down. And the first night, they set several stores and different situations on fire. So it was about to explode. And we felt like we were the community of God. And we needed to become part of what was happening and turn it around and see if God's grace could come in there. So I wanted to share with you a video of that night, the second night, where key things were happening, and I sent our intercessors in there, led by Bonnie, to be right in the middle of where the violence was going to take place. And there were a lot of people with all kinds of Molotov cocktails and different things like that. So do you have that video? Go ahead and show it. This was on Fox News. And that lady you see is Bonnie, my wife.
Henry was live on Facebook with the pastor of All Nations Church, where she and others from her church, they came out. They were asking for prayer, for calm and unity in hopes of healing the hurt that many in the city are now feeling.
And it was some pretty powerful stuff. Let's take a listen.
We're out here with a whole bunch of our friends and family tonight for healing in our city. We're here to listen. We're here to dialogue. We're here to pray.
And I know yesterday afternoon, you guys were out doing the same thing. You were holding a press conference where a number of different religious leaders from the town came, said their prayers for Charlotte. What have you noticed as these days have gone on? What do you notice with the crowd here tonight compared to nights past?
You can feel the anguish in the hearts of the people who are being affected, but you can also feel an undercurrent of just the emotions that are catching up things. And our prayer, our presence, is for a calming impact on our city. This is our city. It belongs to all of us. We're one family. You cut any of us open, you shoot any of us, we all bleed the same color. So we're here for seeking the peace of our city, because in the peace of our city, we all prosper. We're here to listen, we're here to pray, we're here to heal.
And one more thing I want to talk to you about. Everyone keeps talking about that body camera, dash camera footage. We've had local leaders calling for it to be released. Now we have Hillary Clinton calling for it to be released. Is that one of the biggest messages here tonight? Is that the next step for you guys?
Yeah, I think when you're in position of leadership in the midst of a crisis, the biggest challenge is to be able to call the shots as they need to be called. And there may be some mistakes that, you know, in the decision-making process, we may have waited too long, but at the same time, we don't want our children and the lives of these folks to be put in further danger. We don't want our city to be damaged further, because hurt doesn't heal hurt.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, she was asking if you'll be out here past curfew.
We're just out here for the endurance, so we'll wait and see. We're here to try. We've been talking to folks, praying with people, listening to their pain, and letting them know that people are listening. We don't need violence for the resolution here.
Thank you very much, Pastor.
You're really welcome. God bless you guys.
You too. Nights ago, protests got...
All right, and our David's...
So, the Fox News reporter got a hug from a very pretty woman. But I wanted to just see this as a prototype. I felt like that was a prophetic event in many ways. What things were about to explode. Violence, and there were hundreds from out of town that were stirring up violence and violence against the police, against people, setting things on fire, and they were ready. And we as a community of Christ knew that we had, all these years, we had been watching, we had been praying, and the people of God could make a difference. And we had to go right into the middle of the event that was happening. And over the next, that night, and over the next two nights, God, the Holy Spirit, came in. And supernaturally, you could sense the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of peace and joy, the presence of the glory of God came and settled over the cities supernaturally. And those who wanted to set things on fire, they were disarmed. Well, our people would go and talk with them. We would find out about their lives, pray for them, and they would let us pray for them. And suddenly, there was a complete turnaround. and shalom, peace, came over the city. Relationships that had not been there. We had, at our own house, we had some of the primary, the chief prosecutor, the chief of the police, represented from mayor's office, many of the communities who work on restoration ministry. A lot of the people who were involved, we got to know them, and bonds were formed. And that which the devil meant for harm, God is using to heal the city and bring it to a higher level of relationship. And so this is, that's why I wanted to give you that this word is, Lord is energizing over us as families, that this is a word for you, that God wants to give each of us hope and says, my divine power and energy is over you, that whatever the enemy has done, that you find in this scripture in 1 Samuel 30. It says, by the way, it goes on, I won't go over the whole chapter, but in verses 17 and 18 and near a few verses later on, it says, then David attacked them from twilight until the evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. David recovered all. Say, David recovered all. So this is when these things happened, when we, all of us, as individuals, as families, really go through some major challenges and stuff happens. We are attacked, whether it's our children taken captive by drugs or bad friends, and then suddenly they're having trouble with the law, or they are just out of line or whatever. There are aspects, influences in our society right now actively involved in our educational system, where vast portions of our universities are taken over by philosophies that are not really for Christian values, for Judeo-Christian values, or our public school systems teach values that are not compatible with our Judeo-Christian teachings. So what do we do? That in itself, different ways God is saying, is showing us that there are influences that have taken captive, and the process of taking captive our culture, our education, our children. And I want to commend you, by the way, for those families that do homeschooling. Are there some families that do homeschooling? Raise your hands where you are. Well, bless you. It takes lots of get up and go, but I'm really proud of the families who do that. And of course, some, because of our job necessities, all that, have to send them to public school. I'm not putting any negative spin on that, except to say, make sure that we, as the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, are actively involved in making sure that our children are not taken captive. So this is a time where I believe God's divine, supernatural energy is activated at this time, that if we will cooperate, if we will just take a few steps of faith, that God is meeting us and turning things around. So it's a time of restoration that God is saying, giving a living word. By the way, as we look at the scripture, you observe that as bad events happen, as David and his city, that at the place where his people are abiding now in Ziklag, is attacked, that they go, they become a mess in a sense. I mean, I don't blame them. They're devastated. Their families have been captured. Their wives have been taken, have been kidnapped. Their children have been kidnapped. I mean, it devastates people. So they are disheartened. They are discouraged, depressed, disappointed. Disappointed in David, his leadership. And suddenly they allow discouragement to overwhelm them. And it's this depression, discouragement, all the D's. I mean, they are destroyed. They are devastated. And those are negative things that we can, if we are not conscious, will start defining our situation. And then you will look at that level. The reason I began that with that example of that little boy, despite his condition, when I just started preaching, "Behold the Lamb of God who took the sins and the sicknesses of all the world," and he was able to lift his eyes away from that cart of his, from the ground level, and suddenly he was able to see the awesomeness of the Lord, and he connected. And that was an example of the Lord giving something wonderful and showing us an example of how he is involved in everyday life for us, for you and I. And so we are human. But at this time, God's prophetic energy is here. I often call that the glory presence of God. And we have to be able to just seek the presence of the Lord in the middle of attack, in the middle of devastation. We know that the devil is around. Satan is called a thief, a robber, and a destroyer. So he will steal from you. He will destroy. He will even kill if he can. But Jesus, this is the wonderful thing, and this is a word for each family, each of us. And we have to exercise faith to lay hold of that this is for us, for me. With devil, you are not going to define this situation. We are going to exercise faith, and we're going to pursue, overtake, and recover all. We will pursue, overtake, and recover all. So the Lord's energy, his power, his presence is there. So part of the strategy here, you see, is that even though the accusations are there, and see, that's once you get depressed and discouraged, you'll want to, on a human level, and a level that will start limiting your situation, you'll want to blame people. And so they choose to blame David. "We're going to beat him up." They were threatening to stone him and harm him. And he is the leader. And you find that when we are attacked often, that part of the strategy of the enemy is to help make us turn against each other. Instead of, we are there as a community to strengthen each other and help each other. And the key factor here is that David said, "Bring me the ephod." That he sought the presence of the Lord. He sought the word of the Lord. So what is the word of the Lord? That's why when you are in consternation, or you are in some measure of conflict or pain, the house of God, the house of prayer, and the community of God is where you hear the voice of the Lord. That's your place of rescue. That's your place of healing and restoration. I find often that when the people are in the midst of heartache, they run away from the very source that can heal them and bless them. And so the part of the energy, the demonic energy that you want we want all of us to be careful is a spirit of isolation. It will try to isolate you. It'll say, well, this is happening. Nobody else cares. And you get separated from people who will strengthen you. So this is the time that we seek the presence of God. Well, our city was being attacked. We got together. We were worshiping. We were praising. We were thanking the Lord in the church and then sending our intercessors and watchmen and praisers. But right in the middle of all those people shouting and wanting to throw things at the police, we set up our praisers and they started singing and worshiping the Lord. Suddenly the atmosphere changed in the middle of it. By the way, by the end of the week, the governor wanted to meet with Bonnie and a couple of the other, there were just a handful of small pastors, just small situations. And they were there in the middle to talk to these people who wanted to set our city on fire. But the governor wanted to find out what these people did. And we just brought the presence of the Lord and the name of Jesus. And it brought calm to the city. So that's part of the prophetic word. And I believe that God is going to make it happen for your life, that where the enemy has tried to come and steal from you, from your family, from your children, from your finances, or from your relationships, that the divine Holy Spirit word for you is, I'm here. I am. My presence is with you. Now go, pursue. Don't just get isolated and don't get so into that pain and get so defined by that pain that you are just immobilized. You can't move. God says, start moving. Pursue. And I will surely, you will overtake. And I promise you, you are going to recover all. Say, recover all. So, I remember we had some time back. I had been editing a book all night long, and I had to do a major service, big outreach, miracle service for Chicago, city of Chicago. So I had been editing this book. Had about 3 hours sleep, then I had to go catch the plane. And on the plane, I went to sleep. I was so sleepy. And when we landed at O'Hare Airport, I heard the voice of the Lord as we hit the tarmac. I heard, it seemed like the Lord said to me, wake up, Sleeping Beauty. So I said, wow, God never called me Sleeping Beauty. So I was walking through O'Hare Airport, and that word was ringing around me. It was like stereophonic. I heard it from every area, and it penetrated my body. Like, wake up, Sleeping Beauty. I said, what did that mean? And that evening I did a meeting for this amazing lady who's a great prophetic leader in Chicago, and she has testified publicly of this story, so I'm not telling anything that's out of turn. But while I was holding the meeting, in the middle I interrupted and said, there's a young lady here who is driven by suicide. Come up and God's going to deliver you. Well, unknown to me, the lady who had invited me, who has organized this meeting. And we were packed out. We were about 2,300, 2,500 people. But her daughter had been molested terribly. And so she was broken down and had to be institutionalized. She was in a psychiatric institution, and she had to, there were days she had to just literally there to be tied up because she was out of control. She would let no man touch her. She had been so broken down. So certainly that family had been attacked. And she had been there about a year and a half, almost 2 years. And every few weeks the police would guide her, let her have a visit with her family, with her mom especially, and with her family. So they had brought her, and it happened to be the day that we were holding the meeting. So they brought her to the hotel because that's where her mom was holding. We were in the big ballroom. So this girl named Cassie escaped from the police, ran up to the 18th floor and about to throw herself off. They got her, brought her back down on the ground floor. As they were leaving, she said, I need to see my mama. So the police watching at the door, they let her in. And as she walked in, that's when I got the word. There's someone driven by suicide. Come up. You know, it was the word God gave me. I didn't know anything about the situation. So the girl came up. I laid hands on her. She got completely set free. And became a presidential scholar. Got training. She was restored emotionally, mentally. Got training to be a counselor. Then she went to China. Started training hundreds and then thousands of Chinese. And then last October, again, at the end of October, I was in Chicago, and the head of one of the big branches of the China in the mission came to meet me and said, we are praying about making Cassie in charge of overseeing the vast portions of the church of the China Inland Mission. And so under her care will be millions of Chinese believers. Just think, this girl who had been traumatized in an institution, locked up, tied up, God delivered her, restored her, and not only healed her, but made her a person who is now influencing millions of people. That's the ability of the God who tells you today, pursue, overtake, and recover all. Say, pursue,
overtake,
recover all.
Recover all.
Tell your neighbor, you're going to pursue.
Pursue.
You're going to overtake.
Overtake.
And you're going to recover all. And we want to receive this. And I've been speaking this recently because the divine anointing of God is there for us as individuals, as families, and as a church of Jesus Christ. We had an example again at the Christmas time, near the end, on about 28th or so, this last Christmas, that a family in our church, their children had a baby, and after it was born, I have the whole details, the medical details, that he stopped breathing, and his name was Noah. And then they took him to the hospital, and he got restored, and then he stopped breathing again. And they said there's something severely wrong with his heart. So basically he was dying. And they had to do about a 9-hour surgery, open heart surgery. They found that The aorta was barely hanging on. The blood was going everywhere into his lungs. And it did not look like the baby was going to live. And we had set aside a 40-day fast for the community. And one of the words I felt like as a senior pastor, we were not going to let this baby die. That it was under our oversight, and we were going to pray, we were going to fast, and we were going to fight for that baby and for its life. And on Easter Sunday, I got a chance. They brought, the baby was totally restored, and they brought her to church. I mean, they live in Charleston. They live about 3-4 hours away. But they brought the baby to the church so I could dedicate the baby. And I said, and once again, God had brought to pass. We have to pursue and overtake the enemy. He's not going to steal us or our children or our finances or our culture. Pursue, overtake, recover all. And in that season, then, the promise, like we look at another example I want to just mention for a moment, is when God has given the children of Israel the promised land, they are immediately confronted. In Joshua chapter 5, you find that they are brought to the promised land. And there is a promised land. But there is a huge fortress in front of them called Jericho. And often when we see something being fulfilled, the enemy will put a barrier between us and the promise. And it's each of us has certain Jerichos in front of us. And there are challenges that we have, that we, God wants us to exercise faith to receive the full answer and get that promise. So in each of our lives, you will confront Jerichos. Again, the same strategy, that an aspect of the strategy that God gave to King David: pursue, overtake, recover all. In this particular thing, the challenge was, I'm supposed to take about 2.5 million people into the promised land, but the enemy is standing in front of me with a giant fortress, and they are known to be totally vicious, and they will destroy us. At that time in Joshua 5, you find that he is instructed to look up and behold, and let me read you the scripture. You find that it says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn on his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, I am now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said, Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. And then in the next chapter, God gives them the strategy by which they can overcome Jericho. Now you find, as Joshua is confronting the biggest challenge in his life, he's standing by Jericho. The Lord has him lift up his eyes. And he lifted up his eyes, and behold, He looked and behold. Say, behold.
Behold.
That was the word I started with. That was the word. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold.
Behold.
Say, behold.
Behold.
And so I want to ask you, what are you beholding? What are you looking at? And often we look at this level and we are defined by the situation we look at. If he looked at this level, he was looking at Jericho. He was looking at the big barrier. David, if he had looked at this level, he would have seen the devastation of Ziklag. And when you look at that, that thing will try to define you. Who do you think you are? Or this is impossible task. And often we have seen, just in the last year, 2 years, over and over, and I saw it on, showed on Friday night, a testimony that a year ago, the Lord said, call out, we're going to do a healing service on Good Friday. And we had 4 impossible stage 4 cancers show up. And every one of them got healed. Now that, I mean, it was something else. And God is wanting, it's an adventure for all of us. But I want you to know that you are going to recover all. That's the word. I have a living fire in me, and I've seen it over and over and over, that God wants to get involved. So he's asking you and I right now, if I can call you young Jedis, you know, and we are in training. We are disciples that God is training us, and he wants to commission you to get the victory for your life, for your family, and it's in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the glory of Jesus Christ that he's going to give us that victory. From the glory, he's giving us the word, pursue, overtake, recover all. Pursue, overtake, recover all. And my question was, number one there, therefore, for Joshua, what are you beholding? He had to change the beholding. What are you looking at? I'm looking at Jericho. No, sir. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. And as he lifted his eyes, he saw what? He saw the captain of the armies of the living God. He saw Jesus, the Alpha and Omega, with a drawn sword. He, the captain of the armies, the King of glory, was right there. And so he is encouraging each of you, lift up your eyes and behold. And there he is. So in that context then, as you see him, then he will redefine you and me. Who are you, therefore? What are you beholding is my first question. So that's key. What are you looking? And that which you behold will define your situation. So by faith, I am going to make an effort. I'm not going to look here. I'm going to lift up my eyes and see awesome Jesus, King of glory, mighty warrior, everlasting Father, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee, the Lord mighty indeed, Alpha, Omega, and encourage yourself in that as you behold by faith. And then it redefines you. You are often, the enemy will minimize who you are or what you can do. What, you made this mess and you did this and you are stupid and you didn't remember that mistake you made? And he will keep redefining you and your situation lower and lower. It is important that we get defined by the Word of God. The Word defines me. The praise and worship defines me. And keep on in the things that will keep you connected to the glory of the Lord. Therefore, the redefinition. Who are you then? What are you beholding? Who are you? Often people, well, so and so, and then I went through this, and I'm an abused child, or I'm a divorced person, or I am unemployed, or I am, God, as you behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, as you behold Jehovah Jireh, as you behold Jehovah Rapha, it'll start making, rechanging and redefining you. Who are you? Therefore, my second question is, who are you? And you are not, oh, well, you're not a failure. You are not someone who has made a mistake. You are not in debt. You are not in that way. Oh, you, I mean, I am going to redefine myself. I am a child of God. Jesus died for me. I am a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. You know what? When I lay hands on the sick recover. I am peculiar. There is something flowing through me. That's the river of life. That's the river of glory. The resurrection glory flows through his people, you and I. So God is redefining us. So what are you beholding as key to what, who you are? And then you'll find that your speaking will change. What you say, you will start saying what God will say. God was saying what? Pursue, overtake, recover all. So I'll finish my thought on, remember that I did not tell you the complete story of that day, of that weekend really, where the Lord spoke to me. Wake up, sleeping beauty. Sometimes the Lord has given, I believe for many of you, you have gotten a word from God, but you have not let it crystallize. You have not let it let it be in the, put it there so the seeds can come forth. The seed can germinate, life can come forth from that living promise God has given you. Today, God is giving you a promise. I want to release that promise over each of you that you are going to pursue, overtake, and recover all. And that you're going to become, and that Father's house is going to be a house of recovery, a house of restoration, a house of breakthrough and miracles, of individuals, of families, and even the community. We have started experiencing it. We have experienced it, and I'm saying, may you see the restoration. So let me finish that thought about that day that the Lord said, wake up, sleeping beauty. That even God's jokes are powerful. I just want you to know that when it wasn't just a joke, it was a major guidance. And so we saw the recovery of that girl, Cassie. So I prayed, laid hands on about 2,500 people and praying late through the night. And then I had to fly home. And Bonnie was waiting for me. And she said, we have a prayer request. I said, honey, please don't tell me. I'm so tired. I prayed through the night for so many people. I had the night before, I had 3 hours sleep. Last night, I had about 3 hours sleep, and I had to catch a plane. She said, God is, I believe, wants you to do something. I said, no. God wants me to go to bed. I was so tired. I went to sleep, and she woke me up early in the morning. She said, you got to wake up. I said, why? She said, we got to go to church. I said, why? She said, because you are the senior pastor. So anyway, I went, and I was taking the communion elements and was breaking the bread, blessing the elements, the wine, the bread. And as I was doing so, it reminded me of the event on the road to Emmaus where those two guys meet Jesus and they don't recognize him. And as the breaking of bread, suddenly this revelation that they see Jesus. So I was breaking bread, blessing the communion, and suddenly I heard the Lord say, "Wake up, sleeping beauty." Well, the prayer request Bonnie had given me was there's a key singing group in Nashville that we know of, is very famous at that time, called Mustang Sally. There was a women's singing group, and their lead guitarist that found her in a diabetic coma. She had been lying at home for 2 days in the coma. So usually the blood count is about 100, 110 or something, 120. Blood sugar, hers was 2,000. So some of you who know medical things, you may know. And so she was in intensive care. She was on life support. Her different organs were shutting down. So they were asking. They had flown her mother from New Zealand. And they were asking her permission to pull the plugs. So they had desperately called Bonnie. Said, "Can Mahesh fly down and pray for Lynn?" And that's where I said, "I'm so tired, I can't go anywhere." I was breaking bread. The Lord said, "Wake up, sleeping beauty." And I said, "Sleeping beauty is in Nashville. She's in a coma." So I said, "You two guys need to drive me to Nashville." It took us 9 hours. And so there, I went in there, into the hospital, went into the intensive care, and took Lynn's hands and said, "Hi, Lynn. Came all the way from Charlotte to see you. Wake up, sleeping beauty." And God healed her, right? And she came some time later and testified. And when she was wheelchaired out of there, let her go. I mean, you know, she was totally healed. So in the custom in the hospital is to take the patient in a wheelchair and take him to the car. She said, "No way." Told the nurse, "Sit in the wheelchair," and she wheeled them out. And they handed her the bill that was several hundred thousand. But it said, "Paid in full. We had nothing to do with this." So God healed her. And we pursued. We overtook and recovered all. Amen. So, you find that here, one last thing, and then I want to say a blessing over you and your family, is that when David seeks the word, David told the high priest, Abiathar the priest, "Please bring the ephod here to me." And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue?" And the priest basically saying, "You will recover all." He gave him a blessing. And this was basically the high priestly blessing that, in a form, this was the blessing that the high priest would give to the people of God. I'll give you the scripture Hallelujah. And so this is, I felt this was a prophetic word that things happening that he wants to bring his people into full recovery. Just like Lynn was full recovery, just like that little baby in recent days that we've dedicated just on Easter. He is in full recovery. That God is bringing our situation into healing and recovery for your family, for your lives, where many of us have been attacked. That there is a blessing that God is releasing for you. That I want to encourage you, you are not defined by Jericho. Do not be defined by defeat and discouragement or division. That God wants to heal you and bring you restoration. Not because of who we are, but because who Jesus Christ is. And he is the king of restoration. He is the king of recovery. And we saw it over our city. We have seen it over and over, over different people's healings. So I really, as never before, I feel like there's a vibration of blessing and victory that I sense from the presence of the Lord. And I want to release that over each of you, over every family, that you're going to recover all. That where you have challenges with your children, or there are some here, your children's marriages, that we are going to recover all. It does not matter what devastation you have gone through. David, just think King David himself, the great warrior. The powers of darkness came and attacked and stole everything. He stole his wives and his children. And God provided, I could go over some other details, that he was in the process. He was a giver. He helped an Egyptian who had been on the road, been left, nobody caring for him. He was supposedly useless to anybody. And King David had mercy on him and was kind to him and gave to him. In the same way, on the journey of recovery, we need to be men and women who are sowing seeds of blessing. On the road, bless all you can, because you are going to reap a harvest of blessing. But the answer ultimately is, I am recovering all. Say, I'm coming in a season of recovery. See, it's your season of recovery. Pursue, overtake, recover all. So in a few moments, I want to speak the priestly blessing over each of you and over your home. And this is from number 6. But how many of you used to watch Star Trek? Yeah, I was a big Trekkie. And one of my favorites was Leonard Nimoy's Mr. Spock. How many of you remember Mr. Spock? How many can really do the sign? Wow. You are really Trekkies. When you can do the sign, you really are. Some need prayer. They just can't do that. Well, I happened to come around the period that Star Trek first came out. I came to the United States. It was at that time that I went to the university. I had a scholarship and went. So And I remember sitting all alone in the student, because all my friends would go home on the weekend and I would watch Star Trek. But I was struck by Leonard Nimoy. Well, I found out that when they were writing the script, they said, we need a Vulcan greeting. Well, nobody has been on Vulcan. They don't know what Vulcan is. So Leonard Nimoy said, the actor, Mr. Spock, said, well, I have a suggestion. And the real story is that he was his father, and so he also was brought up on Orthodox Jewish background from Europe, Eastern Europe, Ukraine, I forget now which exactly region he came from, but they were very, I mean, his dad believed in the Jewish blessing and all that was connected with that. And he remembered that he would, as a little kid, the priest would give them a blessing, the rabbi, and he would speak from Numbers 6 and speak the blessing for full recovery for all those people, whatever they were going through, that God would make his face shine upon them. And the face shine is, see, when Moses was in the presence of the literal presence of God, the glory, the Shekinah, it's called the Shekinah, whichever way you want to pronounce it. Some call it Shekinah or Shekinah. The presence, the effulgence of the glory, the divine energy that comes only from God's presence, and therefore the blessing that comes only from God would shine out. And it shone on Moses so that when he came down, his face literally was shining with the glory of God. And so they had to put a cover on him because it was so powerful they couldn't stand it. But he was shining with the glory. And when the Numbers 6, it says, and make the Lord make his face shine, it's the glory that nothing can withstand it. The power of the glory of God will devastate every power of darkness and the enemy forces and give you the victory. When God makes his face shine on you, that means you got the victory. Whatever enemies come against you, you may find it in the Raiders of the Lost Ark, remember, that they carried something, and whatever the enemies faced, when the ark was there, enemies were devastated. So today I'm going to speak that blessing. By the way, Leonard Nimoy remembered that the priest, the rabbi, would put his hands and spell the first in Hebrew, the name of God, and it would be like this. And he summarized the Numbers 6 blessing by saying, live long and prosper. So the Vulcan blessing is really from Numbers 6, the Aaronic blessing. So it is now 12. See, I knew I was wanting to release you with a blessing right now. So how many of you want that special blessing of recovery, full recovery? I want you to stand up. And if you are able to do that special signal, next time you see me, you can do that. We have a secret hand signal. So, and receive it. I want you to say after me, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
This day.
I
receive your blessing.
I will pursue.
I will overtake.
And recover all.
For myself.
For my family.
For my children. For my finances.
I speak.
In the name of Jesus.
Full recovery.
Thank you, Lord. Now put your hands up and receive. And I am going to release. And as God's servant, I want to say over you, for each of you and for every home here, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his Shekinah glory, make his face shine over you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom. And I put the name that is about every name, the name of Jesus, the King of glory, upon you and your children. May you, from this day on, have reservoirs of glory and awesome victory. Day after day, victory after victory, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Give the Lord a big clap.
Would you be seated, please? We're going to receive an offering and send our brother on the way in a manner worthy of the Lord. And while we're doing it, just make your checks out to our Father's house. Every penny we collect for whatever we say we're collecting as far as exactly where it goes. I'd also like to remind you about the free download that's available to you. Just give the information out on the book table there. There are several things out that you might want to consider in terms of the CDs in particular, those things that can be spoken over your life and your home. Also, I'd like to get my transition team up here. So I want Lazma Baluk, I want Jay Patterson and his family, I want Casey Pete and his family. I want my present staff that would be get up and come up here now kind of talk. And if any of my staff are married, please bring your spouse with you. That would include my spouse coming up here. Lazma? Okay, Jay, if you'd get your crew over here. Jay Patterson, if you'll get over here. Hilton, are you still in the room? Come up here, please. I'd like Robin and Molly and Tim on this side, along with Patricia Ann. Okay. Now, Hilton, if you'll come over here. Now, what I want you to see is history and future. Okay. Jay and Katie have agreed with the Lord that he will be my successor at our Father's house. We're in the process of transition. It's beginning right away. Marilyn is retiring from my staff at the end of this month. Ruth is away with her daughter this morning, but Hilton is standing here representing his wife, who is going to be taking Marilyn's role in our staff upstairs. Okay. Now, this is Jay and his future, along with some others. Now, as we go through this transition, there are going to be periods where certain measures of insecurity might flutter. But keep in mind, this is a spiritual household in addition to a congregation. So although I will not be present, I am always available. Jay is my spiritual son. He and several others have the opportunity and the right to call upon me anytime, day or night, wherever I am in the world, unless it's Cuba, because you can't call there. But Mahesh has agreed to speak blessing both on the history that's been established and the future that shall yet be revealed. So we're going to let the Father speak the blessing. And incidentally, while you're speaking the blessing, I should point out that my retiring administrative assistant, three of the words of knowledge you gave Friday night pertain to her specifically. Yes, I want to cash these coupons in.
All righty. Yes. So, shall I come down and
you do sit it however you want? He sent his word and healed them.
Yes. Good. So I'll come down and let them pass by me,
fine.
And let me
that
lay hands
fine.
On them.
Now. For those of you who are accustomed to, any of you ever been through a change of pastoral leadership in a congregation that didn't go well? Could I see your hands? Yeah, okay. This is going to go well, all right? Because we have raised up sons in the Spirit who not only have the same Spirit, they have a different administration for the future. See, once upon a time, we needed a Lanny Clark at our father's house. But we don't need that leadership anymore. The culture has changed. The generation has changed. The challenges have changed. But when we began, we needed a certain kind of very direct leadership. Now we have an opportunity for the change of administration to reflect what's going on in the culture now. And that culture is coming into our community all the time. As you think about what was taking place this morning, I don't know all of you, but I do know that many of you that I know have allowed yourself to be defined by the chaos around you. And you've been challenged this morning to look up. Now you have to make a decision if you're going to do it. How would you like to proceed, sir?
Amen. I will just let them come pass by where I am, and I'll lay hands on them.
All right, let's start with history.
You can get me some oil.
I think there's some in your pocket.
Here's my oil.
Here's some of yours.
How oil will
some
travel.
Some of you know Lazma. She is an anointed leader in the Ukraine. And we have a long-standing relationship. I was delighted to have her here this weekend while my mentor was here to bless her and anoint her for God's calling on her into their future. Any of you remember the story of Elijah and Elisha? Okay. One of the things that catches my attention about that is this. Elisha was unwilling to leave Elijah's side and claimed twice the anointing. Circumstantially, when you read the Bible, you see that the number of recorded miracles by Elisha is twice that of Elijah. But Elisha didn't have a son. He didn't have a follower. So when he died, his anointing died with him. How do we know? Hundreds of years later, a body is thrown into the grave of Elisha, and it's resurrected when it touches the bones. Okay? We have a responsibility as the people of God to build transgenerationally. Otherwise, every generation has to start over at the beginning again. So this is not merely a religious formality. This is an impartation, a transfer from one generation to the next. Mahesh is much older than I. Benjamin is only like 9 months old. So we're watching something take place here that has relevance in the Spirit of God in eternity that will manifest itself in time and space. For our guests, I'm not dancing. Okay. As you hang around the presence of God and are exposed to the manifest presence of the Lord, your body will become attuned in a particular way to his presence. And you'll find yourself responding automatically. My response is usually something like this, as it touches me. Now, I have a friend whose response is this, oh, oh, I'm happy for her, but I don't want that one. I have seen others who would just kind of do this. Their hand would just start shaking involuntarily. So when you see these things, I trust that you will not be as cynical as I when I first started seeing them, thinking that's just a bunch of Pentecostal hocus pocus. Thank you, son. Go. But realize that there's more about God we don't know than we do know. And he begins to approach us in a way that we individually recognize him. Okay? How many of you have prophetic visions? Put your hands up so I can see them. Okay? Now, these folks are peculiar. They really are. Because simultaneously, they've got one foot on one side of the veil, another foot on the other side of the veil. So they can be standing there talking to you while they're having a conversation with God and you think they're losing their mind. I have stood in that place a few times and had people ask me, who are you talking to? You know, back when I was first being exposed to the sort of things I live in now pretty much all the time, I was reluctant to be identified with those crazy people because they appeared crazy to me because I just didn't have a context. I didn't understand God the Holy Spirit at that time. But as I have become acquainted with who he is, how he operates, the way he presents himself, I'm okay with him confounding my mind, because as Mahesh has been sharing all weekend long, this is not mental first. This is spirit first. And the governing principle, as far as I'm concerned, is this. Jesus says the Father is looking for those who will worship him in spirit. He does not say in truth and in spirit. Now, if you have eyes to see, when you look at the scripture, you see God giving first an experience and then an explanation. Think back through what you know. They have an encounter, then it has to be understood. Because quite frankly, teaching doesn't give you the encounter. Cerebral response to God is very, very limited until you get the revelation. You understand what I'm saying? Where are Pete and Carrie? Jump over here real quick. And who's the other team member? These two? Well, get up here, boy, and bring your pregnant wife with you. Now, that's transgenerational. How many of you have ever actually practiced the laying on of hands? How many of you have not? Let me see your hands. Okie dokie. One of my mantras is this: command, obedience, understanding. You're not going to get the understanding until you first obey the command. All right? Now, when I was first learning this stuff, I was as hesitant as anybody else. Like, all right, where do you lay hands on? Remember, Mahesh told the story the other night of the woman. He turned his head, she ripped her, put his hand on her rotting breast. And he's thinking, please God, no pictures. But one of the things that I've discovered is when you make contact in a scenario, many, many times, just like that, you see something. Now, it's fairly routine for me when I'm praying for the sick to see something. And it's not necessarily the issue they have. It's a representation of what the Lord is doing. For instance, I would lay hands on somebody, and I would see like a bruised piece of flesh. And I'd start praying. And as I pray, I see the bruise getting healthy. And so when it's all pink flesh, I stop praying. I say, so how's your condition? Well, the pain's all gone. Or the situation is cleared up. Because we're not dealing with,
the Bible says, therefore I will and Jesus must.
It's not like that. I mean, you might start that way saying, well, the Bible says, but what you're looking for is, what is God saying in the moment? So being trained to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, or to see, I mean, he's very, very visual. These are elements that help us become storytellers like this guy. Keep in mind, you're looking at the best Mahesh Chavda that there's ever been, but he did not start here. You have to start where you are. And obedience is a good way to start that. How many of you had parents who said, you better do what I tell you? Okay? Guess what? God is a father. And he expects you to do what he tells you. And if you will, he'll tell you more. Now, if you don't know how to hear, we teach you how to hear around here, so stick around. Little Ben's 9 months old. We spent about an hour together last night coming to terms with the fact that he did not want to be held. But I've got it. Well, I won, of course. So they took a picture of him sleeping on my breast. I'm an old-fashioned father. I believe children should do what you tell them. And if they don't, you don't explain it away or make excuses. You teach them to obey. Why? Because if you don't, how are they going to learn obedience to God? Okay? Our primary responsibility as parents is to train them and to create character in them. And you don't get that by making excuses for them. I'm looking over the top of my glasses. You ought to know what that means by now. Well, I tell you what, why don't you stand? Don't forget the book table. There's stuff out there that you probably ought to be playing in your car. Well, I thought we did that. Y'all sit down. We're just practicing Episcopalian right now. Yeah. We don't have kneelers, so we won't do Catholic. Receive the offering, fellas. I thought you were doing that while I was talking. My bad. Now, I've been working, loving, and living with Bonnie and Mahesh for over 30 years. I've known a lot of folks along the way, but I can tell you there are not two more genuine human beings following Christ than these two. So when they write stuff, they're writing out of the lived experiences. As he was teaching us this weekend, much of what they write about, they learned in the ministry moment. So if you're really interested in this stuff, lay hold of that. I mean, go rape, burn, and pillage that book table grab everything you can and let your mind be stretched. Let's face it, if you knew what you needed to know, you'd be doing it already. So commit yourself to being a lifetime learner and stay after these things. If there's one piece of counsel I would give any generation, it's this. Keep giving the Lord your yes. Make that your lifestyle. And it won't be yes right up front. I know that. I'm at the point now where I can say, you know I'm going to say yes, but not today. Give me a couple days to get myself girded up to say yes. And it's okay. He can deal with that. Just don't make a habit of saying no, because he'll say this. If you won't do what I tell you, I'll find somebody else who will. And you don't want that. Are we done? We good? Okay, you can get up now. Now, don't think you're going to flood this altar, because I'm going to haul him out of here. We've got to get him changed and get on to his next thing, all right? So, God bless you and keep you. Oh, I was going to tell you. You remember Diane Kelly, Kira and Diane Kelly? Okay. Back when I was teaching this stuff years ago and she was trying to memorize it, I'd say, pronounce this over your children. As they're going to bed night. So one night she went in there and she couldn't remember it all. She says, the Lord bless you and keep you and may you live long and prosper.
Exactly.
She got it anyway.
Yes.
Hug somebody on your way out. God love you.
Up the stars, one breath that gives life, one sovereign in power, who speaks with thunder and fire, one Lord, one King, there is no other that can compare to you. You are the one alone in greatness, the one who never changes. Jesus, you are.
have to come to God like somebody else. We come to him like we are. And a lot of times that means that I start my prayer time with, God, just show me my heart. Show me where I am. God, show me truth about myself so I know how to follow you. Sing this prayer with us.
Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true.
Sing that again. Here's my heart.
Here's my heart, Lord.
Can you pray?